moment a man who needs no introduction. He is known and studied worldwide. He is a legend in his own time. Zachariah Sitchin, who, by the way, has some breaking news, an exclusive for us tonight that he'll be telling us about. As I speak to you, the Desert Devil winds are blowing. It's 40 miles per hour plus out there. The winds are howling across the desert. So think about that wherever you are. You probably have better weather than we do. I would like to welcome a new affiliate once again, KRKY. Yet another one in Dillon, Colorado, 930 on the dial. KRKY, Dillon, Colorado, 930 on the dial. Hello there, M.R. Murray. He's GMPD there. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice to be on the air in Dillon. You have no idea what you're in for. You're about to find out. Remember, stations, we do pre-feeds 3 hours prior to the start of the live show. We do 3 hours of pre-feeds from the previous night. Well, going all the way back east where it's late. We've only got an hour with Zachariah Sitchin, so you know who he is. The world knows who he is. You know about what he thinks about the Anunnaki. And I think you know that he does all this, and this is why people listen to Zachariah, not because he pulls his information from the cosmic behind, but because he pulls his information from ancient knowledge, ancient writings. So what he has to say really counts. I suggest you listen very closely. Zachariah, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
It's good to be on the program again with you.
Yes, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Well, at the right moment, we somehow managed to get together.
Yeah.
And there are really many exciting things to talk about tonight.
Okay. I think that people understand, well, maybe they don't, your theory about the Anunnaki, and I suppose that can be briefly stated, but ancient knowledge, this, what you say to these people tonight, whenever you're on, doesn't come from just nowhere. It comes from translations and ancient knowledge, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, talk a little bit about where you get all of this information.
As I may remind your listeners, I'm sure many of them are familiar with my writings. My first book, The 12th Planet, was published exactly a quarter of a century ago, and based entirely on the writings, first of all, of the Sumerians, who wrote on clay tablets beginning some 6,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
then about the evidence left behind by the subsequent civilizations of the ancient Near East, the Hittites, the Egyptians, etc., and combining all that with the Bible, the Old Testament, and especially the book of Genesis. What I have found was that what others consider, know about, but consider as myths, as mythology, was really the recording of highly sophisticated knowledge that in a nutshell told us the following. That soon after our solar system was created, it was invaded by a planet that was thrust out of its own solar system, was passing near ours, was drawn into the center of our solar system, had a collision with an existing olden planet in our solar system. As a result of that collision, three things happened. The Earth and the Moon came into being, the asteroid belt came into being, and the invading planet got caught into a vast elliptical orbit around our sun, coming into our vicinity about every 3,600 years, and becoming thus the 10th planet, or as the ancients called it, the 12th member of the solar system, because they counted sun, moon, and 10 planets.
When it does come back, Zachariah, when it does come back, how close does it come to Earth?
Between Mars and Jupiter.
Between Mars and Jupiter?
Yes.
That should be quite something.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And according to those tales, that planet, coming from some other solar system in the cosmos, brought into ours and transmitted to what we call the planet Earth, the seed of life that we nowadays call DNA. Now, that happened billions of years ago. About 450,000 years ago, intelligent beings from that planet traveled in space, arrived on our planet in search of gold, at some point needing assistance, needing manpower, jumped the gun on evolution and took the hominids who had already evolved on Earth and, combining their genes with those of the hominids, brought about some 300,000 years ago us, Homo sapiens. This is the essence of the story.
We were created to mine gold for...
Time they gave us civilization, and if you check it, you see that the stages of our advancement happened about 600 years.
Now, I wonder if that accounts, Zachariah, for why when we touch gold and feel gold and think about gold, especially if you just touch it, put gold in your hand, you're feeling something more than just something valuable. There's something about gold.
Well, this infatuation with gold is really inexplicable unless you accept the ancient tale. The people in the Americas referred to gold as the tears of the gods, and so on. Now, against that background, Art, here I'm sitting a few weeks ago and reading the two parallel reports by the two teams that have deciphered the human genome.
They just deciphered the genome,
February. 2 weeks ago.
And they did it way ahead of time. They said, wow, we really got done fast, much faster than we thought.
We welcome that, of course. And they said that the human genome has about 30,000 genes, has about 3 billion letters of the DNA alphabet, but they are lumped into effective genes only about 30,000.
And they thought there were a whole lot more, didn't they?
They did, but...
Nay.
They did.
We really got done fast, much faster than we thought.
Well, we welcome that, of course. And they said that the human genome has about 30,000 genes, has about 3 billion letters of the DNA alphabet, but they are lumped into effective genes only about 30,000.
And they thought there were a whole lot more.
But 30,000 is pretty complex. Then they found out two things, one that was highlighted in all the headlines and one that you found hidden only and discovered only when you read the reports very carefully. The major finding was that the findings are humbling because they discovered that we are no different from chimpanzees by no more than 1% of the genes. In other words,
awfully close.
We have 30,000, so about 300 of them make the difference between us and chimpanzees. We have barely twice as many genes as the fruit fly or some worm, etc.
Twice as many as a worm?
About twice, yes.
Yeah.
And that they found and they really traced how the DNA that somehow arrived on Earth, and more they say through a comet, something from outer space brought it, which is corroboration of the ancient tale, and then how it grew through bacteria and invertebrates, like a tree of life, showing how we arrived with all the things we are proud of.
So then bacteria then had some job in the formulation of our present genetic structure.
Right.
Right.
Now here comes the sleeper. They found out that as they trace the genetic development on Earth from the lowly bacteria to the intelligent human beings, there are 223 precisely genes that cannot be accounted for through this progression from some bacteria to invertebrates to vertebrates. And none other than the science editor of Newsweek referred to those genes as alien genes.
Alien genes?
Alien
genes. Okay, so...
That's in Newsweek.
So now they've completed the whole genetic... it was amazing they did it so quickly in mid-February. This is really important for the audience to understand. Yeah, it took a few years. Not as many as they thought, so we're simpler than they thought.
Right.
And then after everything is said and done, there's 223 genes that...
that cannot be accounted for through this evolutionary process.
When
I read that word, alien genes, I said to myself, I'd better contact that science editor and everybody else. And the way to do that was to put the story on my website, which people, by the way, are welcome to look up. It's sitchin.com.
Yeah, we've got a link.
And I said, and I called it the case of Adam's alien genes. Now, if you ask those scientific groups, how did we get those mysterious or unexplained genes, they say, well, at some point, maybe a group of bacteria gave it to us.
In other words, they don't know.
Well, the Bible says that at some point, the group, the entity, the divine beings that the Bible calls Elohim, which is a plural word in Hebrew, should be translated gods, but usually translated God with a capital G, that they talked to each other and said, let us fashion the Adam in our image and after our likeness.
That's right.
Now, if the difference between us and chimpanzees is caused by bacteria, then you must say that it is a group of bacteria that got together and started to talk to each other and said, well, why don't we fashion an intelligent being to look like us? But we don't look like bacteria.
Well, some would say, perhaps, Zachariah, that those bacteria were directed by the hand of God. Big G.
Okay. So now we get to what I really want to... I don't know if it's shocking or not, but here it is. On April 8th, which is what, about 11 days ago, the New York Times carried an article on its front page headlined, Evolutionists Battle New Theory on Creation. And the article said that the so-called creationists, who, you know, disagree with pure evolution, are up to some new tricks. First of all, they are not those Bible Belt guys. They are all scientists. And what they say is, well, yes, there was evolution, but at some point, somebody interfered, and this, whoever, the intelligent designer.
The intelligent designer.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the whole new theory about which the those who believe in evolution complain, because now it's scientists who say that, is called the intelligent design theory. Now, listen carefully, please. The fifth paragraph in the New York Times, and I'm reading from my copy, which is late city edition of April 8th, says as follows. This designer, you know, the intelligent designer, may be much like the biblical God, with the capital G, proponents say. But they are open to other explanations, such as the proposition that life was seeded by a meteorite from elsewhere in the cosmos, or the New Age philosophy that the universe is suffused with a mysterious but inanimate life force. Now, the same story was carried on the web of the New York Times, and must be the original early version. I have that in front of me as well. And the fifth paragraph in the website says as follows: this designer may be much like the biblical God, proponents say, but they are open to other explanations, such as the proposition that life was seeded by a meteorite from elsewhere in the cosmos, possibly involving extraterrestrial intelligence. Or the New Age philosophy that the universe is suffused by a mysterious. Now, did you catch the difference?
Oh, yes, of course I did.
The words possibly involving extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yes, of course.
Were excised
by
whoever in the late City edition of the New York Times.
Who would you imagine applied the pressure that made those words disappear, Zachariah?
Well, frankly, I have no idea. But I think, you know, sometimes they say that one has to read between the lines, but in this case, one has to read the lines.
Oh, yes. Well, or try to imagine the missing lines. That's a riot. That's an absolute. So
well, now I this is the first time, by the way, Art, I mention it to anybody.
Well, now Zachariah,
so I'm letting you and your listeners have this.
The story,
this
Zachariah.
Scoop or whatever.
It is a scoop, and you know, though, we have to say, let's think. What are the odds that? Oh, you know, it was just a typo. In other words, somehow in that printing, it got mixed up and forgot that sentence.
I didn't know that you're so generous.
I'm not. I'm just sort of. No. I'm trying to get the listeners out there to understand how unlikely it is that incredibly important sentence would simply just be there in the first place and then disappear in the second place. We could imagine all kinds of things about. Who got behind its disappearance. That's amazing, absolutely amazing. So I'm
whoever excised it is another matter. The point is that in the original version of this article on the front page of the New York Times, whoever wrote it and whoever accepted it in its original version actually accepted everything that I say the Sumerians said 6,000 years ago.
Of course.
And to me, this is so exciting and sensational that you know, I really don't sleep nights, Art, because I'm so overwhelmed by all these discoveries. Now, this is in genetics. Now, a day before the New York Times article, there is an article in a magazine called Science News reporting the findings of a French observatory that has been working, by the way, to my knowledge. I've tried to contact them from time to time about the search for what they call Planet X, meaning the 10th and the unknown.
Yes.
And they say, here's the opening paragraph in that report, Far beyond the solar system's 9 known planets, a body as massive as Mars may once have been part of our system, and it might still be there.
You know, I read the same stories. Yes, I know. I read exactly the same story, and when I read it, I thought of you. Actually, they say that might still be there. Absolutely fascinating. Zachariah, we're at the bottom of the hour, so hold on. That's plenty to digest for one segment. Oh, my. So our genetic makeup is all recorded, duly recorded now. They're done. There's these genes that they can't account. These alien genes is what they're calling them. And then there's that alien exorcism in the New York Times. Oh, my, my, I'm sure Zachariah's smiling. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.